Okay, that was The Rapture with Sister Savior, and this is Mikey Pod. This is Michael Herron, your host, and joining us today for our special Deja Vu episode of this interview, we have Joey Ito. Hello, and welcome to the show again.
Hi there, Michael.
We did this interview together before, and I messed up the audio, so we're trying again. So thanks, thanks for doing that. Joey is the chair of Creative Commons, and we're going to talk about that a lot today. And actually, there's going to be a special giveaway halfway through the episode, which I didn't even mention to you yet, because I got this box of stuff from Melissa Reeder.
Oh, you got it already?
Yeah, she sent me so much stuff, like all these T-shirts and buttons, and I have a contest idea in mind, but that's the teaser for it.
Okay.
So tell me about Creative Commons. Maybe just the basics for people who don't know what it's about.
Okay. Well, Creative Commons is it's basically a nonprofit organization that provides tools that allows artists to mark their works in ways that they would like to share them, or ways that they would like other people to use them. So Creative Commons actually uses copyright. It's not an anti-copyright thing, but it helps people use copyright in a way that isn't just about restricting everyone's access, but in fact allows people to say, well, I don't mind if you copy and share my stuff, or I don't mind if you copy and share my stuff as long as it's non-commercial, or as long as you don't create derivatives, or whatever. Most artists who are, especially amateurs, don't mind people using their work for certain kinds of use, but maybe not for others. And so Creative Commons lets you sort of mark up your work, gives you a legal license so that you can use it in court and things like that if you have to. And it also puts a computer-readable metadata tag on it, which means that Google and Yahoo and Flickr and everybody else who's using it it kind of interoperates so that the search engines, for instance, can tell which pieces of content are allowed to be downloaded, for instance, and which aren't.
So that the metadata tag, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's actually metadata. There's different ways that content gets tagged with the metadata, but basically it's kind of this little stuff inside of HTML or embedded in the content so that search engines, for instance, can see what license. So if you go to advanced search on Google or Yahoo, and you say, for instance, I want to look for all photos of something, New York City, that allows commercial reuse, for instance, it will be using the Creative Commons tag on people's works, looking for specifically things that are tagged that they want to be shared that way.
Wow, cool. That's something that is totally new. It's totally fresh for this interview because I didn't get that the last time. So do I have to do something special like to have that? I mean, this sounds so canned. Like, do I have to do something special, Joey, to make that happen? But totally, I don't know.
No, it's really simple. A lot of the tools have it built in, sort of on Flickr, you can go to the, I think it's probably part of the privacy settings, and then you can change the privacy settings, and then you can answer a bunch of questions, and it will pick the license for you, and Flickr will tag it for you. So, there's actually only a couple of different things you need to decide. You need to decide whether you allow commercial reuse or not, whether you allow derivative works, so allow people to remix it and mash it up. Those are the two main ones. And then there's another slightly harder to understand decision, which is called share-alike, which basically means if somebody makes a derivative work of what you do, like takes this podcast and remixes it, if you add the share-alike clause, that means that they need to then license their work under Creative Commons, whereas if you don't have that, they could, license it under anything. So, for instance, if the New York Times takes your work and gives you attribution and puts it in their newspaper, if it's a share-alike license, they can't do that because they're not licensing their stuff under a Creative Commons license. So it's kind of complicated, but the main thing you need to decide is, do you want to allow commercial use And do you want to allow derivatives? And then, so if you select it, what happens is most of these services, like Flickr, will do the tagging for you. If you want to, you can go to the Creative Commons site, and it gives you all the technical details. So if you're writing your own software, if you're making your own web page, but a lot of people are making plugins. I mean, Microsoft now has, if you go to their site, there's a plugin for Microsoft Office so Microsoft's users of, like, if you make a PowerPoint presentation, you could use this Microsoft Creative Commons plugin to tag the works directly from Office. So eventually, everything from your camera phone to every sort of blog software, website making software will have Creative Commons built in. That's okay. The plan.
So in the meantime, like, if I wanted to have that tag in my podcasts, is that an easy to describe process, or?
Yeah, it's well. Do you hand code your HTML or not? What do you use?
Like, I'm such a flunky.
How do you make your website right now?
Well, I have it's a WordPress blog, and my actual posts I put HTML into, but none of the formatting.
Sure, there's a WordPress Creative Commons. Okay, so there's a WordPress plugin called WPCC, which is the Creative Commons plugin for WordPress, and I can send you the link for that. But you just install this plugin, and then WordPress will tag the pages for you. But the other way to do it, I mean, so if you want the search engines to find your stuff, you probably want to use a plugin like this that puts all the metadata in there. But if you're posting something to YouTube, or if you want to tag the stuff because iTunes doesn't yet understand the metadata, you could also just put in Creative Commons, by or whatever, that you can put the name of the license, and at least the humans will understand what you're talking about. But
right.
the cool thing though is when the search engines understand. So this plugin that I just sent you, I don't know if you know how to install plugins in WordPress, or are you using the hosted WordPress?
No, it's I'm so funny because I do stuff, but I don't really know what it's called. So it's not hosted. Like, I have it on my own web.
Oh, okay.
Area.
Yeah.
So,
So this should work. I haven't tried it, but it looks like it works.
Okay.
So give it a whirl, and maybe I can get somebody to help you with it if you have problems.
My friend Andy Melton helps me with stuff a lot. So if I can't do it, I'll be like, Andy. So yeah, I should be able to do it. And it's one of those things that once I get in there and do it, I'm like, oh, is that it? Oh, I can do that. So yeah. Okay. So yeah, that answers those questions. I guess another thing that kind of comes up from all of that discussion is, as someone who doesn't play only Creative Commons licensed music, how does that work? Like, is there a specific way? Now, this is something we've already talked about, so I just, in the spirit of honesty, I'll throw it out there. but if my music, like, for example, with this show, the first and second, like, the first song I played and the next song I played are from the Wired CD that is all Creative Commons. So those I can... if I just had those two songs in the show, I could license the whole show as Creative Commons. But I'm also including a song that I have permission to play, but isn't Creative Commons. So how does that work?
So so first of all, I'll say I'm not a lawyer, so this isn't legal advice, and I may be wrong. But my guess is that you can basically say this whole show, except for this song, is a Creative Commons licensed show. So if somebody wanted to then take your show and use it, they would have to cut out that song, right? So that's one way to do it. So for instance, on your website, like on my website, I have a Creative Commons license, and then I say, this site is Creative Commons licensed unless otherwise labeled. And so what you would have to do is when you played the song, you would say, this particular song isn't Creative Commons license. And I think that you can get away with that. I mean, as long as it's clear to the person who might reuse it that they're not allowed to use that song, I think that that's okay. Technically, I'm not sure, but I think that that's... The other thing, just sort of as we get into this, that I like to point out, though, is that there are a lot of people on the internet who sort of really get into legal things, and as if it were some kind of sort of puzzle or programming language, like it's code. The thing is, though, that you know, all the laws of all the different countries sort of conflict with each other. They're sometimes crazy, and at the end of the day, it's kind of whether somebody's going to sue you, and then what the courts will say. And so you know, while it's important to get legal advice and try to follow the law as best as you can, what I think personally is just as important, if not more important, is to understand what the sort of acceptable norms are, and also try to make it clear exactly what you're trying to do. Because, for instance, people will argue that Creative Commons licenses are valid or invalid because of this detail or that detail. But I think the most important thing that we're trying to do at Creative Commons is, obviously, the legal part's important, but the most important thing is to help people decide how they want to share their stuff and let other people know how they want to share their stuff. And so my sort of fallback on a lot of this stuff, like what the question that you just asked, is not really technically the legal part, but to just say, well, you know, this song, I have permission to play it, but, you know, they don't have a CC license, and just say that, you know, I have permission to play the song, but I can't CC license this, but everything else is. And I think as long as it's clear to the listener, I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah. So with all of that being said, like, in a way, part of what I appreciate about Creative Commons, and hopefully I'm not just kind of pulling this out of thin air, if you will, is that it's more about community and less about legality. I mean, it's a legal license, but it's more about building a community of people. Am I on track with that?
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that, you know, a lot of us get bogged down in the legal part. I mean, there's the legal part of Creative Commons is a huge effort. We have, you know, licenses ported into 37 different legal jurisdictions, and that's a lot of work. And, you know, we have people in 80 countries working on expanding that. Having said that, you know, the way that we've done the licenses now, we have this thing where we're calling it, I think there are various names for it, but basically we're federating licenses so that we say, for instance, if you license your work under the Japanese Creative Commons attribution license, then somebody else can remix it and you know, or reuse it under the American one. And while they're technically slightly different, we're basically the same. And so we're saying that all the different licenses and each of the categories in the different jurisdictions are, for all practical purposes, compatible. And we're also allowing other licenses from other organizations to be compatible with our licenses. Because one of the biggest difficulties is, I think, in like open source software, I've heard things, people cite numbers like there are 500 open source software licenses, and a lot of them are not compatible because they're only compatible with themselves. And that's really crazy. I mean, it's kind of like you don't want 100 different internets. You know, you don't want 100 different sort of clusters of content under different licenses. And so we're trying to make it easy for the artist and for the user, and to try to make it one community. And we're trying to be as open as possible to different organizations that have been working on copyright licenses as well. And so it's a long answer saying that, you know, the legal part's really important. We're trying to get it right. But the core of the community is really about, you know, making one big commons rather than, you know, competing with each other because of legal differences.
It's huge. Like, I had no idea before I talked to you the last time, and even more so this time, that it's such a, like, Creative Commons is such a big thing that's all over the world.
It's in a way it's big and huge, but in a way still not a lot of people know about it. And so, I mean, I think we need to change it from, we need to sort of evolve from sort of the people who naturally tend to find and get excited about stuff like this to where it's sort of something normal that everybody talks about. Because I think until everybody knows what it means, it's not ultimately going to be successful in its mission, which is to sort of, you know, help everyone share.
Yeah, got it. So I'm doing my part right here.
Thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. Let's talk about Cornelius.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm going to play a song by Cornelius. And oh, cool. He's your second cousin, is that right?
Yeah, I just saw him yesterday.
Oh, cool.
He's my second cousin. So he's my mom's cousin's son. But he's an only child, and none of my cousins live in Tokyo. So we're about the same age, so we used to hang out a lot. And I was a disc jockey when I was in school, and so we'd sit around and listen to a lot of music. But he actually was good at it and became a musician, and I ended up in a nightclub in Chicago.
That is so, like, his music is really interesting. And for those of you who, I guess, have probably figured out by now that he's a musician, because I didn't say that to begin with. A friend of mine recommended I think the album is called Point, the one with the big blue spot on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a couple of years ago. And it was one of those things I listened to and I was like, huh, that's interesting. And ripped it into iTunes. And mm-hmm. It came up in Shuffle one day, and it was one of those, I don't know if you have these experiences, but I like find so much music that something comes up and I'm like, what's that? That's really interesting. And it was him. So mm-hmm. ever since the second listening, I've been really interested in what he's doing. But yeah, so he plays guitar, right? And then does a lot of electronic stuff to what he plays. Am I gathering that right?
Yeah, he started out mainly with guitar, and he's very Creative Commons-y because, you know, we used to sit around and listen to a lot of music, and then he just got obsessed with going to old record stores and finding lots of old music, and some of it's pretty retro, and then he sort of brings it together like in a collage. But more and more now he's sort of synchronizing it with a lot of interesting stage stuff and video stuff. But he really likes to experiment, and he just finished a world tour a couple months ago, and just got back from Sonar, and he's kind of taking a break. He's got a kid, and yesterday we were hanging out with do you know Ryuichi Sakamoto, who's
how I found you, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was doing some kind of search for him, and then I found like a post that you made about him, and mm-hmm. This is so bad. This is such like cheesy fanness. So you'd made a post about him, so I subscribed to your blog, and then it was uh-huh. until later that I was like, "Wait a minute, this is the chair of Creative Commons. What do you know?" So I kind of came to meet you in a sort of backward way. But yeah, anyway, go on your story. I love
it. Yeah. So the day before yesterday, I couldn't make it because I just got back from a trip, but. Ryuichi Sakamoto had organized Hosono Haromi, who's the oldest member of the Yellow Magic Orchestra, uh-huh. just turned 60, so they did a tribute concert, and Keigo Cornelius played there, and apparently it was a really kind of tear-jerking kind of thing, and Hosono-san is his next album is a country music album, which is
oh really
funny. But this is like 60 people came and played, and was this kind of homage to the, you know, sort of 80s, 70s, 80s whole YMO thing. And anyway, apparently that was cool. And so yesterday I got the two of them together and I videotaped them talking about Creative Commons. And so my instead of making my sort of video posse do it, I agreed that I would do the video editing so I could learn Final Cut Pro. And so I'm sitting here staring at a big screen with five cameras worth of high-def video trying to put together is Creative Commons thing.
Oh, that we'll is see. Great. And, well, I guess it will. The film itself will be licensed under Creative Commons. Am I correct in assuming that?
Yeah.
Hell no, you don't use this.
So there's an event we're doing in September that's sponsored by Mozilla called Mozilla 24. It's a 24-hour event. And there's like a rock festival as part of it. And none of the musicians know anything about Creative Commons. And so what I decided was that instead of me sitting around talking about Creative Commons, if I could get Cornelius and Ryuichi Sakamoto to talk about how great Creative Commons was, that would probably go over much better with these young musicians than some techno dweeb talking about it. So
right. Oh, you're not a dweeb. Okay, anyway, I mentioned this song by Cornelius, Wateridori. Did I say it right? No.
It's close, Wateridori. Yeah.
What does that word mean?
It's migrating birds.
Oh, okay. So this is, see, now I'm all self-conscious. Please feel free to say the title for me.
Wateridori 2.
By Cornelius. Okay, that was Watari Dori 2 by Cornelius. It's so funny. Watari Dori, Gather My Senses 2, Cornelius. And that song is Creative Commons licensed from the Wired CD. And actually, maybe that, because I got some of those CDs, like this box that Melissa sent me is so amazing. She sent it to my sister's address because where I live now is kind of temporary. But I got there last night. It'd been there all week. So I got there yesterday, and I was opening. It's like, oh, my God, T-shirts. Oh, my God. What are these, lanyards? Is that what those things are called?
Yeah.
And I've got DVDs with info about Creative Commons and the Wired CD and a whole bunch of buttons. So here's the contest. Dun-dun-dun. All you have to do to win, like, I'll do, like, little Creative Commons little gift sets, I guess we'll call them. With like, because she sent the youth size T-shirts too, which are kind of like khaki colored.
Yeah,
and they have a really cool design on them too. So I'll send like whatever T-shirt you want, and then buttons and like some of all of this stuff, postcards, the lanyard thing, and all that stuff. So, and in order to win, all you have to do is make a post on your blog or in a podcast. If you don't have a blog or a podcast, I guess that's not fair to those people. But that's okay. Make a comment on someone else's, or make like a voice comment. Somehow, like, spread the word about Creative Commons. And if you specifically mention this interview and also, you know, something specific that you got out of hearing it, you win this fabulous little gift set. So, yeah. So just email me a link to wherever you wrote about it or wherever you talked about it and your address. And there'll be, I can do like two or three of these. So, yeah. So, we'll see what happens. So, there's that. There's the contest. And
awesome.
Yeah. Enter crazy end of contest music here. So, okay. So, the last time we did this, I had questions that I gathered from some of my fellow podcasting friends and a blogging friend, too. And so, now we're going to pretend that we've never heard these before and go through them again. But it's been a while, so it'll still be kind of fresh.
Yes.
So the first one comes from my friend John Whiteside, who's in Houston, where I used to live. And his question is, and this one's so well written, in his recent book, The Cult of the Amateur, Andrew Keen argues, not entirely unconvincingly, that lack of copyrights will destroy culture, making it impossible for truly talented people to get the financial rewards they need to practice their art. What are your thoughts on that?
Right.
That's so heavy.
So, first of all, Creative Commons is not against copyright. I can just say that because some people seem to mistake us for some other people who are anti-copyright. I do think that copyright terms are too long, right? So the fact that you can't play that we can't sing Happy Birthday right now because it's still under copyright seems kind of a little excessive, right?
Yeah.
And so I think, 70 years after the death of the author is too long. I think it should be somewhat shorter. But I do think that we also need to think about, why these things are getting excessive. It's because this whole endeavor of creating content has become a huge corporate multinational thing. The reason why the copyright terms have gotten so long is to protect Mickey Mouse and other sort of intellectual property assets from sort of going into the public domain when a big company is still using it, right? And the problem with that is that 90% or more of the works that were created in the past, by the time the author's dead and gone for 7 years, there really isn't anyone kind of managing or taking care of that content, but it's still under copyright, so it's actually illegal for us to reproduce it without permission. The problem is that the person or the company or whoever might give us permission is really not even around. We call this orphan works.
Okay.
But so it's kind of like, well, do we, so is copyright intended to protect you and me, for instance, from making a song and publishing a CD and, making lots of money on it for 14, 20, whatever years. But then afterwards, after a certain period of time, happy birthday to you, to us, seems like something that is so common that that maybe it should be okay that everyone can sing it without having to pay. At that point, it becomes part of the commons, and it's what you're trying to balance here is the right and the ability for individual artists or corporations to make money off of something versus when does it become something that you know, kids should be able to sing on the streets without having to pay a license. And it's a hard question. And so that's kind of one thing. The other thing is that Creative Commons, though, isn't necessarily all about making money. So Creative Commons is saying, okay, well, you have a copyright and you have all kinds of rights that come with copyright. So, for instance, you have the right to ask for attribution. You have the right to say, well, I don't want it to be reused for commercial use or whatever. But I don't mind if people use it without paying me because that's not why I'm making it. So it's my blog. I don't blog to make money. I'd much rather make less money or no money and have everybody read it than charge a whole bunch of people who then have to pay, right? So right. There are a lot of businesses like that. I mean, I actually was the chairman of InfoSeek Japan, and we launched InfoSeek in Japan. I don't know if you remember that, but it was a search engine like Google, except not as good. but the thing was, the first business model for InfoSeek was we're going to charge people to search for the internet stuff, right? Okay. So we were charging per search, you know, and that didn't really work that well because people didn't want to pay per search, and then the ad model came out and it sort of made sense, and similarly, you know, it's you know, there's the ad model, and there's also, like, for new artists, maybe the whole point for new artists isn't to make money immediately, right? Maybe it's they need to get famous first, or maybe, you know, they don't mind if individuals use their stuff, but when a big company wants to use it in an ad, then they want to get paid, and maybe they think that having everybody listen to their music for free is how they're going to get famous, so that they get the movie contract or the commercial contract. And so I think that, you know, the two points I'm trying to make is, one, you know, Creative Commons isn't anti-copyright, but in general, personally, I'm anti-excessive copyright because I think that stifles creativity in the commons at the expense of creativity in corporations, which net, I think, is a minus for society. But also, I think that with copyright, you also shouldn't be thinking only about short-term money, because then no one will get to hear your stuff. And there are a lot of cases where it makes sense to give your music away or share your music, but retain certain rights like attribution.
Yeah. And that seems to be really, smaller record labels are really seeming to get that too. The idea of giving things away.
Like your podcast stuff, right? A lot of people let you use the music without making you pay.
Yeah. And a lot of them are really eager to do it. And it seems like it's starting to pay off, you know, like, because there are so many people that, I hate to get into that sort of podcasting sort of, I don't know what the word is, aggrandization. I don't know if that's the right word. Anyway, the whole idea that the whole music industry is turning around thanks to podcasting, because now we have a choice to listen to, you know, whatever we want to. But it's true in a way that there are people that appreciate being able to subscribe to a podcast where they'll hear different music and new music that they wouldn't hear on the radio, and it's not controlled by corporations. Even though it means, like, these artists are giving their work away for free for now, you know, until they become well-known. And, you know, what happens then, I don't know.
Soon they'll be paying you to play their music.
Yeah, I can see it happening. I'm ready. But, yeah, like, there's a... well, I mentioned Jane Sibri on the show all the time, and this happened in the last interview, where she started this... idea on her website where she changed the whole store, and she was on Warner Brothers Records for years, and then she got dropped and started her own label. I say she got dropped. I don't know that that's really what happened. She left Warner Brothers, and now she was selling her music on the website, and now she has a whole setup where you can download all of her music that's released on her label with she suggests a price, and you can pay that or pay less or more or not pay anything and just take it as a gift from her. But she has this whole same sort of community sense, in the sense that she's writing the music for other people to listen to, and if she makes money, that's great too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like, there are different things like that are changing too as well. But I digress. On to the next question. This comes from Andy Melton, who I mentioned earlier might be helping me with the Creative Commons WordPress plugin. And his question is, how long do you think it will take for mainstream adoption of CC licenses to take place?
I guess it depends on what you consider mainstream. You know, so advanced search on Google and Yahoo and the Microsoft plugin seems, and Sony's video site now uses Creative Commons and blah, 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 blah. So a lot of mainstream people are using it, but I don't think that Creative Commons is yet mainstream. So, but it's growing pretty fast. It's growing faster than the internet is growing. It's really hard for us to figure out exactly what the statistics are. But you know, I think that there's going to be kind of a, I mean, I hate to use cliches like tipping point, but I think that the tipping point or the thing that's going to really push us is when it goes from advanced search to, you know, the basic thing in Google. For instance, if Creative Commons icons pop up in search results, or Flickr uses Creative Commons really, really well, and you know, and Stuart and Katarina are awesome, and so I, you know, lots of kudos to them. But you know, when you see a Creative Commons photo on Flickr, you actually see the logo, and you know, I'm going to sort of digress for a second. I mean, there are a lot of issues with Creative Commons because people don't necessarily understand it, and people misuse it, and then there's debates of whether we should use Creative Commons or we shouldn't use Creative Commons. All that's actually great because at the end of the argument, everybody knows a lot more about Creative Commons. And so while some people have had some bad experiences with Creative Commons, you know, right now, for instance, Virgin Mobile is using photos from Flickr that are Creative Commons licensed for these big advertisements, right? And people are kind of like, well, I don't know if I'm okay with that, you know. And other people are saying, well, you Creative Commons license it. They're allowed to do that. And so then that makes people think through it. But then they say, well, but maybe I am okay with that, you know. And so one of the things about Creative Commons going mainstream is not just us being built into a bunch of stuff, which is really important, but for artists and for people to sit down and really have a think through what it really means. And this is actually sort of segues into an important thing, which is like what you were just saying about these other people, but we need to think about as well is a lot of people feel, well, I don't want other people making money from my work without me getting anything, right?
Right.
And then I think, and this becomes an important thing because it's, well, why don't you like that? And do you really not like that? You know what I mean? And it's like, if somebody used Creative Commons licenses or your work on a television show or on a newspaper to talk about your stuff, that's probably okay, right?
Yeah.
If Virgin Mobile uses your picture, you know, in a bus stop, is that okay? And the thing, though, is that, you know, I guess one of the problems is that corporations seem kind of big and greedy and stuff like that, so just, like, having them use your stuff for free makes you feel kind of bad. But I think, you know, you kind of have to sit down and say, well, but does preventing them from doing that also prevents, you know, some other smaller organization from using it? And do you really care? Does it really matter? Especially if you're getting attribution, right?
Right.
So those are the kind of things. And then Creative Commons also has the ability to limit derivative works, right? So I think some of the things that people don't like are the captions or the cropping or the editing of their work, especially people like that make documentaries and stuff like that. And so then you can restrict that. But anyway, so to answer the question, I don't know exactly when it's going to become mainstream, but I think more and more people are using it, and it's an accelerating rate of people are using it. So at this point we should have an infinity number of people soon, but
yeah.
I'm not sure exactly when.
Should
not
be
a very good answer, but
no, that was perfect. No, but because all of that stuff gave us the answer, so yeah.
Okay.
that reminds me of something I meant to ask you earlier. Was it you that had someone used your photo without attribution that was CC licensed?
Recently, Business Week used it, but I just sent them a nice email asking them or telling them. But I guess I asked them if they had not done it by accident, and they, you know, within less than a day they had fixed it. So
Oh, okay.
That was a good thing. you know, most people, once they understand what it is you're asking for, and that what you're asking for doesn't require paying money, it's really usually not that bad. But there are still a lot of people who don't understand the license, and so they use it without giving attribution. And, you know, while there are a lot of people like the Wikipedians who, for whom, you know, attribution isn't why they do it, and it's even a more pure giving, which is to give to a community, a lot of us, you know, do stuff because we want attribution, we want credit for what we do, and especially amateurs, I think, who aren't getting paid, the credit is actually even more important than for professionals. You know, because I think a lot of professionals kind of give up on the credit side in exchange for getting paid, and you know, and big media companies kind of get used to the fact that, you know, we're paying you, so shut up kind of attitude. And
I got you.
But if we're not getting paid, you know, you have to give us some credit.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Next question. This is from Dave Calderbank, and his question is: are there any well-known artists who use Creative Commons?
So the Wired CD, although I don't know these people have at least used Creative Commons for the Wired CD. I mean, the Beastie Boys, David Byrne, Cornelius, Spoon. Spoon's actually doing another concert. There's something on the Creative Commons site for that. If you guys, and I think it's in LA. Creative Commons concert, and Gilberto Gil, who's also the cultural minister of Brazil, and he's re-recording all of his songs under Creative Commons license.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is, isn't that awesome? So, because he realized that he can't CC his songs because they're owned by the record. I mean, the record labels all have rights up over them, and so he's re-recording everything. He announced in the newspaper the other day, and Chuck D and. Danger Mouse, you know, Ryuichi Sakamoto. So these are the kind of musicians that use it.
Yeah.
And I know there are a bunch of other people that I'm forgetting who it's rude that I'm forgetting because they're probably also really famous. But having said that, I think Creative Commons licenses are probably more important for amateurs than for professionals. I think a lot of these professionals are kind of helping us because they think it's the right thing or it's a good thing. But, you know, the people who are really famous don't need Creative Commons as much as sort of communities of people or people who are less known. The traditional music industry serves these people fairly well in many ways. But it's great that they do contribute and participate in our movement.
Yeah, but the thing that's interesting though, it's Gilberto Gil. Doesn't have control of any of those recordings that the record company does. You know, that's me, that's a really big point in favor of Creative Commons, you know, that
right.
or in a new way of doing things, because as much as benefit that came from having those, you know, released by big labels, big corporations, there's that cost of, well, but we own this now and it's not yours anymore.
So that's the really kind of weird thing about copyright, is that when you turn intellectual property into property, a lot of times that person doesn't have the right to use it anymore, right? That's the whole professional. The problem with being professional, you know, a lot of people think that professionals are you get to be the most creative. It's not necessarily true, because whoever pays the professional actually has more control most of the time. So like you said, you know, most musicians can't do whatever they want with the music that they've created. They have to, you know, the record label owns all of or some of it. Similarly with photographs, right? There are a lot of people who get the photos of themselves taken, right? But most of them don't have rights to the photos that were taken of themselves. And so, like, I don't know if you've had this experience, but if you go to a conference or something and they say, oh, can you send us a photo? Well, you can't, because you don't have any photos of yourself that are really nice that you own. And so one of my personal missions is to go around taking pictures of people and uploading them under a Creative Commons license. I'm calling it the Free Souls Movement. So that if you want to use a picture of yourself in something, which, you know, sometimes you need to, then you can point to that picture, and if it's a decent picture, then it's available. So like the Wikipedia articles of a lot of people have really dumpy pictures of them, because there are no photos of these people that are public. And so one of the things that I'm trying to do is upgrade the quality of the photos of famous people on Wikipedia.
And your photos are great. I should mention, I'll definitely put a link in there
to
your Flickr, because it's fun. It's fun. Okay, next question. This is from Dave. No, I just did that one. This is from Bicycle Mark. And actually, I asked a different question from him, because he was Skyping questions to me as we were talking at the beginning of the last interview. So the last one was the one he really wanted me to ask, and I put myself on Do Not Disturb before I got it. So I got it after the interview. So that's the big universal reason why the audio was messed up, so you would get the correct question here. And it is, why not advocate no licenses instead of creating a new one?
So we do also have a sort of wrapper around a public domain license, and there are a lot of people who do choose public domain. Mm-hmm. The thing about copyright, though, is that copyright allows you to control certain things. Like, you know, you can't ask, once you've given away all of your rights, you can't ask for things like non-commercial use or attribution and things like that. And so I think some, you know, people would be happy to put their work into public domain, and actually there is a I think it's called the founder's license that we've been experimenting with Tim O'Reilly, which basically says after a certain number of years, books that you make go into the public domain. And usually that's typically after the sort of lifetime of the value of the book to a publisher. But in most cases, you know, if you want your work to contribute to the commons in a particular way, right, then you need some control of the work, in which case you do need copyright. And so copyright doesn't necessarily mean, you can't use it without asking permission. Copyright is just saying you want some control of some of the rights. And public domain just means I don't need control of any of the rights. The reason why, for instance, the Free Software Foundation, so this isn't really Creative Commons, but the Free Software Foundation, for instance, for their GPL, which is a license that they use for Linux, they don't make it public domain because they have a clause in there which is similar to the Creative Commons share alike, which basically means that any software that you create based on this Linux thing, you have to contribute back under the same license. So basically, if you go to get the Linux kernel and you edit it inside of some big company and make it better, you have to give that better version back to the community. And what that does is it forces everybody who takes from the commons to contribute back to the commons, right? Okay. If it were public domain, that wouldn't happen. If some big company made a change to Linux, they could keep it secret, right? And so copyright in free software, for instance, forces everyone who uses stuff to also contribute. So it prevents free riders. But again, philosophically, some people say, "Well, no, we don't care if there are free riders." For instance, the what's called the BSD license, which is the other Unix flavor called FreeBSD, uses that license, and that license isn't as strongly worded about having to contribute back and stuff like that. So there are raging debates about what kind of copyright or if copyright should be used. The other thing that I just last thing that I add is, in some countries you can't waive certain rights that you have, you know, like model rights and moral rights and things like that. And so in some countries, certain parts of the sort of whole rights around intellectual property, some of those rights you can't even give up, which is kind of an odd thing. But I guess that's getting into the sort of legal trivia part. But it's a valid question. I mean, I think a lot of people would argue that no copyright is better. It's just that what we find after talking to a lot of artists is that they do want some control over some aspects, particularly the attribution part. So right. Then we need copyright for that.
Okay, so you made it through the questions. The last thing we have to throw in is veganism. I haven't been doing so great, I have to admit.
Oh no.
Look, I'm frowning.
What happened to you?
You know what's happened is I'm so poor. And like there are times like I was at, I'm serious. I work at this place. I won't say the name of it. But it's like a school for little kids. And I do birthday parties there. And there was one day that I was like, there was leftover pizza. Look, I feel like I'm at an AA meeting. And there was leftover pizza and it had cheese on it. So I ate pizza. Like that happened 2 weekends in a row. So that's my vegan confession. But you're a vegan, and you've been vegan for what, like 7 months now?
Yeah, I think 7 months now.
And could you hear that siren that just went by?
Yep.
Yeah, that's life on 6th Avenue. It's very loud here. Okay, so
go ahead. But I forgive you.
I was thinking, like, there's this whole movement called freeganism. Did I talk to you about that before? It's the idea behind it, and I wouldn't buy into this really, although I may be sort of semi-forced to, because when I say poor, I'm not at all exaggerating. But like their thing is like this people like this whole movement of people who are like I interviewed a guy from this community in Philadelphia who I think was who I first heard the term freegan from, and the idea is that like if you get food for free that would have been thrown away anyway, or like go dumpster diving and get like meat or cheese or something out of there, then the karma is gone and you're actually doing a good thing by not letting it go to waste.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of a stretch for me, but, but well, that could be my cop out for this anyway.
Well, I'll send you some muesli.
Oh, awesome.
Muesli is great. Fruit and muesli. It's like my favorite thing now. But anyway, go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say. No, like this week is much better financially, and I'm going to be vegan all week.
I read an article about this kind of urban gardening thing where they were teaching kids in like really, you know, those neighborhoods that are so bombed out that there are like these lots of these open lots, and teaching kids how to garden. And how great it was because they like got into it and then they actually made food, and there's another great book that I read recently about how much food you can like maximizing the amount of food you can grow on a small lot, and then the other thing I'm really into is composting, and there are these really neat gadgets, and you know albeit they cost some money, but they are actually sort of these indoor composting machines that you just throw your scraps in and then it converts that into compost. And the composting thing is like another stupid obsession I have right now, which is I'm just like really getting into it. And so what's great is you realize that all this waste turns into, you know, like nutritious soil that is food for your plants. And so like I have all my friends now getting these composting little bins for the houses, and then they bring their trash over to my house. Then I put them into my garden, and I grow stuff, and I give it to my friends again. And it's like this wonderful kind of circular thing. And can I keep boasting? Do you mind?
Keep what?
Boast about something? Can I keep boasting?
Oh yeah, go ahead. Do it.
So I live in the countryside where we have like I have a septic tank and well water and
you live in Japan too. We should throw in. I don't think I mentioned.
Yeah, I live in Japan.
I'm talking to you in Japan right now. In Japan, way over there in Asia. It's great.
but I live in the countryside in Japan, and so I'm gonna try to get solar cells get off grid, and right now this line I'm talking, this one's actually in my office, but I'm going to try to get something similar, which is I'm part of this academic network. So I can connect to the internet without going through an internet service provider. I have what we call dark fiber, which is like this, I just lease this fiber that doesn't have electricity or anything. It's just this dark fiber. And at the internet exchange, I have a little box, and I have a little box on my side, which sort of lights up this fiber. And then I have a router that, this is kind of technical, but I have a router that connects to the academic network as part of this academic experiment. And this academic network isn't a telephone company. They don't have a telecom license, right? So it's just I just connect to the internet. So I'm talking to you right now over a connection where there's no telephone company involved at all, right? And so eventually my goal at home is to not be using any electrical utility, not use any telephone company, And, you know, I'll have to buy natural gas for a while because I still, but eventually I will be completely independent for food, water, and electricity. And then I can just, you know, turn on my force field and then I won't care what happens anywhere.
That'll be perfect. That's really exciting though. I mean, like, yeah, that I was thinking when you're talking about composting that this is going to be a really long show. I may just split it up into two because it's just too much. But did you know already that I lived on this base? It's a community, an intentional community in Georgia called Koinonia.
No, I didn't know this.
I was there for like 4 months. And one of the things I learned about there was dumpster diving, and which is kind of a funny thing. There's a whole story that I shouldn't go into because if people have been listening for a long time, they already know. But the thing that about the composting that really kind of lit up for me that you'd be interested in is one of the things we got one night when we were dumpster diving. Like, we got so much stuff. We went to this one grocery store in Americus, Georgia. It's teeny tiny. And and we would go late at night and just raid their dumpster. And we would mostly get, like, bread and things like that. But sometimes we'd get fruit. And one of the things we got, this whole, like, flat of blueberries. And in a way, I was like, do we really want to get blueberries out of the dumpster? And a lot of them were brown or whatever. But we took them back, and we would always have this carload of stuff that we would go into the kitchen with. And we took the blueberries, and somebody sorted them. And the ones that were not edible, you know, that were too withered or whatever, went into the composting because they kept a compost thing there. And then we recycled all the little cardboard cartons. And the ones that were good, we made juice out of, and we all had blueberry juice. But it was just one of those moments. It was like all this, like, we really just did something cool by digging around in a trash can, you know, by making use of all of this stuff. So it's cool. That's my story.
But it's you look at trash from a whole new perspective after you start doing things like that, you know.
Yeah.
And so anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. If it's okay to go back to previous topics, but one of the things that Ryuichi's doing, Ryuichi Sakamoto's doing, is this new More Trees thing. Do you know about this?
No.
So he was doing this Stop Rokasho thing, which is like this anti-nukes, no nukes. And then he made a t-shirt that said, no nukes, more trees. Because he thought just saying no nukes, anti, blah, blah, was too negative, right?
Right.
And then the companies were like, well, if you took away the no nukes part, we could probably get more excited about sort of being supportive. And so he said, okay, well, let's make a movement in addition to Stop Rokasho called More Trees, so that it's not just no nukes, but also something good to do. And so what they're doing is they're going to set up a website and do a bunch of stuff. And they're going to, you know, the carbon credits thing, right?
Yeah, I have a general idea about that, yeah.
Okay, so the idea is basically you have a carbon footprint. And so I think the average Indian is like one. I think the average Japanese is like 10 tons and a year. And I think the average American is like 20 or something. I'm not sure exactly what the number is, but you can basically look it up. And then what you do is you pay for carbon credits, which is basically money that goes towards taking that much carbon out of the atmosphere or preventing that much carbon from being created. And then that basically offsets the carbon that you create and basically makes you carbon neutral. But one of the ways that you can make things become carbon neutral is to pay for people to plant trees, because you can calculate how much carbon a tree takes out of the atmosphere, or some similar calculation. And so what they're trying to do is find a bunch of projects where the people are planting trees and then figure out ways to allow people to pay for user points or whatever to offset your carbon footprint. And so, the reason I was remembering that in the context of that, one of the things that Ryuichi was doing when we were out for dinner was he was drinking tap water, and I had ordered a San Pellegrino or something. He said, do you know how much energy goes into packaging that water up and shipping it over and sticking it on your table? You know, drinking tap water is actually a lot better for the environment. I hadn't actually thought about that until, and it makes total sense, right? So I've started drinking tap water more. But anyway, that was just a random thing. But it's just these little things that you don't think about until somebody tells you, and then it's kind of obvious that shipping bottles of water around probably isn't really that good for the environment.
Yeah, and then it's true. And then the container, et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's trash. Back to our trash.
Yeah. He is such a hard guy to stay on top of. Because I subscribed to his blog for a while, but a lot of it is in Japanese. So
yeah.
I got frustrated. But like that, so I, that the it, is that thing that he's doing called More Trees?
More Trees, yeah. And unfortunately, they're going to launch it in Japan first. I'm going to try to help him with the web stuff, and I'm going to maybe try to get it out more in the English side. But it's called More Trees.
If you need a podcast for him to appear on, just let me know.
I will do that. I'll recommend it.
Oh, cool. That'd be great. I'd try not to be too much of a, like... Yeah, I don't think I'd be too, like, freaky fanish in that sort of setting.
No, I think you'd be fine. He's got real freaky fans, so...
Does he really?
You wouldn't come close to his freaky fan.
It's funny, because he's not really that well-known here in the United States like he is in Japan, right?
No, he's in Japan. That whole him and Yellow Magic Orchestra is really like it was like the first band that came right when Japan was like, you know, coming out of this thing, and you know when the whole techno thing and the robot thing and the anime thing and the game thing were all coming, and they just kind of nailed it. And so for a lot of people in my generation, they were like the music of that period. And so anyway.
I need to get into more Yellow Magic Orchestra, and that's the last thing I'm going to say that takes us on this this whole like tangent. But yeah, because I really am familiar with his music, and I never have like, because I discovered him long after Yellow Magic Orchestra had broken up, I think.
I see.
So yeah.
Yeah, you should definitely give it a try. There's some good stuff. I'll send you some links.
Oh yeah, do it. Cool. Okay, we should stop.
Okay.
I love it. I feel like it's like part interview, part like conversation that may only be interesting to the two of us. But that's okay. So I'm going to end the show with actually, surprisingly enough, Sakamoto and Sylvian, David Sylvian, from Ryuichi Sakamoto's album Chasm. Yeah, from Chasm. So this song is called World Citizen, I Won't Be Disappointed. And thank you so much for coming on the show, Joey Ito from Creative Commons.
Thanks, Michael.
And the end.
What happened here? The butterfly has lost its wings. The air's too thick to breathe. And there's something in the drinking water. The sun comes up. The sun comes up and you're alone. Your sense of purpose come undone. The traffic tails back to the maze on 101. And the news from the sky is looking better for today. In every single way, but not for you. World citizen. World citizen. And it's not safe. All the yellow birds are sleeping. 'Cause the air's not fit for breathing, it's not safe. Why can't we be without beginning, without end? Why can't we be? World citizens. Citizen. And if I stop and talk with you a while, I'm overwhelmed by the scale of everything you feel. The lonely inner state, emergency. I want to feel until my heart can take no more, and there's nothing in this world I wouldn't give. I want to break the indifference of the days. I want a conscience that will keep me wide awake. Disappointed. I won't be disappointed. I won't be. I saw a face. It was a face I didn't know. The sadness told me everything about my own. Can't let it be. When least expected, there she is. Gone the time and space that separates us. And I'm not safe. I think I need a second skin. No, I'm not saying. World citizen. World citizen. I want to travel by night across the steppes and overseas. I want to understand the cost of everything that's lost. I want to pronounce all their names correctly. World citizen. World citizen. Disappointed, I won't be. She doesn't laugh. We've gone from comedy to commerce, and she doesn't feel the ground she walks upon. I turn away. I'm not sleeping well at night. And while I know this isn't right, what can you do?